We're talking with Ali Baranski, Executive Director of the Festival at Sandpoint. Ali, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.
And with Bob Witte, he's the Festival Board President. Bob, thank you for being here.
Oh, anytime, Chris.
Well, Ali and Bob, we're recording this a few days ahead of time as this airs. And the festival is going to be kicking off tonight with its 2021 season. That's tonight, Thursday, July 29th. You have an intriguing first act, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, plus there's an opening act by The Dip. And we're going to circle back and talk about tonight's show. But we have a bunch of other stuff to talk about first, because there's a lot that's new this season.
Yes.
Ali, the venue is still the Memorial Field, right alongside our big, beautiful lake. But there's new turf on the field, and it's necessitating some big changes. So let's say I'm standing in line right now. I'm just about to get onto the field. I'm ready to race in and get my spot when the gates open. But what is going to be different this year?
Yeah, a couple of things that we want our fans to know before they get to the venue or enter are some new rules. One of them is no glass is allowed in the venue, with the exception of wine bottles and beer growlers, because they are higher grade glass and they're really hard to break. Any other glass outside of that will be confiscated, or we will ask you to return them to your car or home. So wine glasses, beer bottles, all of that is not allowed within the venue. That's one really big artificial turf update.
Okay, so no beer bottles. Wine bottles, okay, but don't bring beer bottles in.
Correct.
Unless it's in a big, heavy growler container.
Or beer cans are fine. You know, putting it into a different container, as long as it's not glass, it can come in.
Or wine in a box, for example.
Yeah. Okay, that's one thing. I know the biggest change probably for folks is going to be ordering food. Food at the festival is legendary. There's always great stuff. I never bring food anymore because I enjoy eating off of Festival Street, as you call it. But it's going to be a lot different way to order this year.
Yes. There are two reasons that Festival Street in particular are different. One is the artificial turf, and two is the pandemic. So Festival Street will be moved off of the turf itself into Lakeview Park behind the grandstands. It is actually fenced in as a part of our venue. It is not, you don't have to exit. So it's just an extension of our venue. And with that, every single transaction at our venue is contactless, meaning there's no exchanging of cash or credit cards at our venue. Whether you want to rent a chair, buy merchandise, or get drinks at the bar or Festival Street, all of it is done through Noble, N-O-B-L-E, either via their app or their web URL version of ordering.
Okay, so I'm there, I'm hungry. The first thing I want to do is get on my smartphone and go to either launch the app, and it'd be advisable for folks that are listening to go ahead and download that app right now.
You can go ahead and download the app now. And in fact, I advise that you do that before you even get there. You can see the vendors. You could even order your food saying, I will be there at 6:45, and they will text you when your order's ready.
So when you're on the field, you'll get a little ping, hey, your order's ready, and you'd walk over and get it.
And you just pick it up. I know for a lot of people, they like to stand in the line and see people, but this particular year, this was our solution, which the health district applauded, just to avoid as much gathering as possible. And it's for this year.
Yeah.
We just want to get through this season.
Okay, yeah. So this was really kicked off because of the pandemic considerations.
Yes.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah. It's the one piece that we're asking people adapt to have a safe festival this year. We are not requiring masks. We know that it would be a fool's errand to try to keep people 6 feet apart. So we've opened up our venue. There's way more space. There will be less people in our given space, and then really just cutting down on transactional interactions. So I think a lot of people, after the first time they use it, will love it. It's essentially pickup only ordering. You can still go and ask questions and go look at the merchandise, but the transaction itself will go through Noble.
Okay.
And the other benefit, Chris, of moving Festival Street into the park is that it opens up all of that space, you know, in the end zone there for now for seating. So, I mean, we've all been to the Jackson Browne type of nights where it was just too crowded. Well, this will alleviate a lot of those problems, and it'll just be a better festival experience.
Yes. Okay. So there's some benefits here in all these changes. Again, if you're listening, go ahead and download that Noble app. You can find it if you go to the festival at sandpoint.com website. There'll be a link there that'll take you off to the app store for your device where you can get that Noble app. And be prepared not to be paying cash for anything. There's going to be no cash transactions going on. That means that you might want to set up your credit card in the Noble app ahead of time, just to be sure, or make sure you have your credit card with you.
Or if you don't want to do that because you're used to going to the bar and buying a shot or a couple of beers going three or four times, either buy them all at one time or you can bring your own. I mean, I don't know of another venue you can still do that, so you're more than welcome to do that.
Yeah. Okay. Something else that people will be using their phone for this year is there's not going to be a printed program. I just happen to know that. So I've been helping work on that. So how does that work? So you get there and you want to kind of read up on some of the acts or what the festival is about.
Check out the sponsors. That's why
you check out with, and the sponsors too, of course. Yeah.
Yeah. So our program this year is digital. It was another way to, cut back on waste as well as cut back on cross contact and people handing out programs. So we're really excited to have it digital this year. We will have helpers at the venue handing out little flyers, both with instructions on the Noble ordering as well as the QR code for looking at the program. We will also have a team of high schoolers there who will be helping people navigate how do you scan a QR code or how do I order our food. So we're really excited that we have a digital program this year. It means that things are clickable, so if you want more information, you can click on the program and it will take you to the applicable website.
Mm-hmm. And so you'll have your phone and you'll actually be able to page through it, kind of like you're looking at a printed program. And if you see something you're interested in, like you want to check out one of the sponsors, you can click on their logo and it'll jump you over to their website and you can see more about them.
Or the president's message.
Yeah, of course, of course. Because he has a lot to say.
Very little this year.
And also what we love about these two different, technologies that we're using is you can look at the program at home ahead of time. Mm-hmm. You can kind of read up on an act prior to getting to the venue. You can look at the menus and order before you get there. So you can do both things from a computer as well. You don't have to have a smartphone while you're there. So we liked that because I know a lot of people get busy when they're there. There's people to talk to, things to do. So we love that people can have an opportunity to look at things at home as well.
And I will say it's going to cut down a ton, literally a ton of paper waste.
Yes.
Yeah. And the green team loves it because they don't have to pick up so many programs at the end of every night.
The programs are used. The people will page through them, but then they go down on the ground or into the recycling. That's kind of a neat step that direction as well. I guess the bottom line here with the venue changes is you're going to ask everybody to be very cognizant that we're trying to take care of the turf.
Yes, we're trying to take care of the turf and we're trying to be mindful of having 4,000 people gather after a pandemic. So there's two things that we're kind of asking our fans to just be respectful of so we can continue to have the festival at this venue and do it safely. So once again, we always have had a smoking area, but it's even more important now that you only smoke in that designated area. We cannot have any items like that on the artificial turf.
No fire on
correct. No fire on artificial turf. And if something, like heaven forbid, were to break, we really need to know about it. So we are making sure that when we leave the artificial turf, we're leaving it as a safe and clean area for the sports teams that take it in the fall.
Question, have you guys tested the turf? Have you gotten down there and taken off your shoes to see, is it going to get hot? Because that was a concern.
It gets hot. Yeah. It definitely gets hot. We will be spraying it down in the day to try to bring down the temperature of it as well. I do recommend that if you bring a blanket, cotton is great. if you bring something like fleece, you will be taking a handful of the fake dirt that infill home with you.
Because, okay, the fleece kind of collects that.
Yeah,
okay,
it right. sticks.
And so. It will be hotter than the grass, but, you know, once the sun starts going down, it will cool down quickly. And with your cotton blanket, I think everything's going to be fine.
Yeah.
I talked to somebody that actually went down and got on there barefoot, and they said, hey, it wasn't bad. So. Yeah. Fingers crossed. It's a little bit of an experiment, I suppose. But
oh, everything is an experiment this year. It's all new, but it's very exciting.
Yeah, between the pandemic and the new turf. I did want to back up to one more point here. You mentioned you're going to have like a squad of young technophiles out there. If you need help, how will you recognize these guys that are going to be roaming around there to help you with the smartphone stuff?
Yeah, our IT help team will be at the general admission gate as well as at the other entrance of the Festival Street area. They will be wearing matching blue and white trucker hats that have Festival on it, and they will be wearing badges that say IT help on there as well. So they will probably be between 12 and 20 a night just there to help people learn. And I think after those first couple nights, people will get the swing of it.
Okay, so look for the guys, young guys in gals with blue hats.
Yes.
So something else that's new this year and every year is you have a different poster artist every year. And this year, your poster artist was Connie Shear. And you'd had the unveiling last week. And it's a pretty cool poster. I think just about everybody's going to think that.
Yes.
Give us a little verbal description of what Connie came up with.
Yeah. Connie's poster art is a very beautiful scene of the festival, but in the foreground are teepees and the river. And so when she was thinking of the festival, she's done a lot of research in our history here locally and about the Native Americans who were here. So she liked how back then, and she talked about Finn and McDonald, that people gathered and shared food and enjoyed music. And she kind of took that into our culture with the festival about how we all gather and share food on our little blankets. So we've had rave reviews about it. People are really excited. And one cool part with our poster artist that not everyone knows is we auction off the original piece of art throughout the season. So bids are already going, and then we announce the winner at the grand finale. So just the fact that the bidding has already really taken off, I think, is a really cool reflection on how excited people are about the piece.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. The historical context of, you know, sharing community across the ages, if you will, by different groups of people that have lived here and loved this place. But it also just visually, it's interesting because it's, you see the big festival tent in the background, and up front you see the Indian dwellings, which are reminiscent. The two pieces are kind of reminiscent. So it works on multiple levels,
year's
poster. And that's by Connie Shear again. And she'll be there to sign and talk to people, right?
Yeah, so the original is at our merchandise booth. So she's there, she comes and goes, answers questions, and then we have poster prints for sale as well that are there for purchase through the app.
Yeah, I'm going to throw this out there too, because I know she just published a children's book that's really cool. Oh. And it's about a family story she likes to tell about a mermaid in Lake Kokalala, and it has her great art in it. So people can ask her about that too when they're there. Well, I wanted to give you an opportunity. The festival is supported by a ton of people in town, but you do have some major underwriters. And do you want to tell us a little bit about your sponsors? And I mean, how does it even work to be a sponsor of the festival?
Yeah, so as a nonprofit organization, we are very lucky and privileged to have such a huge community of supporters. We get donations, you know, as small as $5, $10, but then we have some really major sponsors who make our existence possible, especially this last year. The amount of support that we got was very overwhelming. Our major supporters and our largest supporters to date, or our largest supporter to date, is Idaho Forest Group. And they're underwriting four of our shows this year. So Jake Owen, Gladys Knight, REO Speedwagon, and Young the Giant. So we're very thrilled to have their support. Our other major sponsors are Lighthouse, Foods Like Media. Toyota is a new sponsor this year, and some people have maybe seen the fancy car driving around town.
This has festival all over.
We didn't pay for that.
Okay. We didn't pay for that. That is a donation.
Which they're taking back, and they also gave us a large cash donation.
Yes.
Okay. So they've been extremely generous.
Yes, nice. Parker right. Toyota has been very supportive. Avista has been amazing. They actually helped us make sure that we had the power that we needed to change Festival Street, and they've been very helpful. KPND, of course, huge supporter and helps highlight all of our amazing acts that are coming. Coca-Cola is the large one. A lot of our non-alcoholic products at the festival are all Coca-Cola products. And Ting. Ting has also been really amazing in adapting. They have put in fiber at the venue. There will be public Wi-Fi for everyone, and then there's also secure Wi-Fi for our vendors and for our artists. So they were able to adapt at the new venue as well to support some of these new updates.
We probably couldn't be doing all of this with the app without Ting.
Ting, making sure we have good connections there, yeah. Okay. Well, and there's a ton of other sponsors that help in all kinds of different ways. So people can check that out if they go to festival@sandpoint.com and see that. And also they'll be listed in that virtual program. You'll be able to page through when you're on the field.
Chris, just real quick, now you mentioned the website. Just be careful when you go to purchase tickets or to get information that you're actually going to our website. It will not say ad next to it, and it won't be the first thing that comes up. It may be the third or fourth, because there are people who are trying to resell tickets on their website. So if you see a ticket for St. Paul, for example, and they're $80, that's wrong. They're $44.95.
Okay. Yeah. And some people have kind of been caught up in that. There are other places to buy festival tickets other than through festival@sandpoint.com.
Correct.
And these guys, you mentioned that one ticket went for hundreds of dollars.
Yes.
And then they call us and complain about that.
And the buyer is not happy about that because they could have bought that ticket for $75 or something. And so, be careful about that if you're buying your tickets online. And that's the only way to buy them, right?
You can come into the office now. So you can buy them over the phone with us at the office, in person at the office, or online. Our ticket platform is Eventbrite. So if you're going through any other one, that is not us, but find that link through our website. The amount of scammers and or resale is very high this year. So just double check your purchase before checking out.
And if they do want to call and buy by phone, what number would they call?
They would call 208-265-4554.
And the office to walk in is
at 525 Pine Street in Sandpoint.
Look for the Toyota with festival.
Look for the Toyota,
plastered all over just outside. Okay, one more mention, and that is the other thing that makes this great event go is the ton of volunteers you have.
We are inundated and so humbled by the amount of volunteers that we get. Both, you know, I say there's two pieces. There's people who are able to give financially, and there's people who are able to give time, and the festival at Sandpoint only works if we have both of those. So we have upwards to 100 volunteers every night working at the festival. We have volunteer chairs who coordinate their teams, and then we obviously have the board of directors who volunteered a lot for the last 2 years to make this festival happen. So we had a meeting with our security team last night, and I just can't continue to thank our volunteers, because it simply cannot happen without them.
Thank you, volunteers. Mm-hmm. Okay, so let's talk about the acts. And as this airs tonight, Thursday, July 29th, the festival kicks off with St. Paul and the Broken Bones. Yeah, and there's an opening act, The Dip. Tell us about this, the kickoff night.
St. Paul and the Broken Bones is going to be a very fun concert. I think they're categorized as retro soul. And their lead singer, Paul, is a performer. He knows what he's doing up there, and if you have not checked them out, I highly recommend it. They have a really cool NPR Tiny Desk series that kind of made them famous. So you can see his stage presence, and I think it's going to be one of those shows that people are going to wish they had gone to. Surprisingly, even though a lot of people haven't heard about it, it is, I think, our fourth top-selling show. People are very excited.
The people that know about these guys, they want to be there. And then for the rest of us, I never heard of them before. But I'm going because I always discover some really great musicians I never knew about at the festival.
And it's opening night. But no matter what, it's always really fun. And the ticket's only $44.95, which if you're a regular concert goer, that's downright affordable. Yeah. So it's worth it, and you're going to love it.
Yeah, we should mention, some people gripe about the cost of tickets at the festival. They are literally a fraction of, a lot of these acts, a fraction of what people would pay if they were in Seattle or some of these other bigger cities. It's amazing. Well, let's talk about the next act is Jake Owen. And now that's tomorrow. That's going to be tomorrow as we listen. As this is airing Friday, July 30th. It's unlikely that there's going to be any tickets available for that.
Correct. I can almost guarantee you it is sold out.
Yeah. So if you're going to that, you're probably going to have to find somebody that's selling a ticket out there, which might be hard to do, but it might be possible. Just three words on who's Jake Owen.
Jake Owen actually came in 2017, and I think that's also why he's so popular, and up and coming and handsome country act. And he's known for having kind of a California vibe. He performs barefoot, and it's super fun.
And his opening act is Colby Acuff.
Yeah, Colby Acuff is a U of I kid out of Coeur d'Alene, I'm a big fan now that we've listened to his music, and we're really excited to have him. And I know he's honored to be opening for us and for Jake Owen.
Saturday, July 31st, the big act is Shaky Graves.
Yes. I'm personally very excited for Shaky Graves. I'm excited for all of them. Shaky Graves is hard to define. Americana, rock, blues, he kind of morphs a lot of different styles. He is a very accomplished musician. I would recommend, if you are not aware, to check out his Audio Tree version of Rolling Bones. And you'll probably then go buy a ticket because it's very impressive.
And you do have links to music samples of these artists on festival@sandpoint.com.
So yes, people can check and our them social out media as well.
Yeah. And he's just $49.95. So another bargain.
Yeah. Yes. His opening act is Trey Burt.
Yes, Trey Burt. He has a little bit more of a southern feel, a little bit grittier, and we're really excited to have him too. He's touring with Shaky Graves, so I think between the two of them, it's going to be a really fun night.
Okay, Bob, over to you. On Sunday, August 1st, it's a guy named Kev Moe.
Yeah. Go to the old guy, Chris. Kev Moe, it's another thing. When we went through so many changes in the last 2 years, we just looked at everything. And a lot of things are different. We were looking at that first Sunday. It's like, I love the kids' day and all of that and the carnival atmosphere, but it was really hard to produce. It was hard on Paul and his crew to get up early and change the entire field. And we thought, let's maybe move things around. And Kev Moe became available for that Sunday night. It just seemed like a no-brainer. It's like, what a great show for a Sunday evening at the festival. Mm-hmm. We've never done this. So, like I said, everything's different. And he wanted to come. And he's bringing his band, which we were pleasantly surprised. I thought at first it was just him. And, of course, he's played the festival before. He's played the Panada. Everybody knows who he is, and he's just thrilled to be here, and we're thrilled to have him. It's going to be so much fun.
Kind of a legend, really.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. And his opening act is the Brother Brothers, and these guys are brothers. They be
twins.
Hard to tell them apart.
I'm not familiar.
Yeah, they were kind of a last-minute ad that Kev said, hey, I'm bringing the Brother Brothers, and it's just a part of my act. And ironically, they popped up on my Spotify. They're super cool. Similar kind of to Kev Moe, more of the Americana side of it, but I think it's going to be a very cool first ever Sunday night show, and early entries already sold out for that show, so people are very excited about it.
But there's still tickets available, folks.
Correct.
Don't confuse that. So those guys look like they're just going to be fun.
Yeah.
So that's the first week that people are going to hear these next 4 days. Before we talk about it, we want to touch on the second week. And there is a kids concert in the second week. So yes, that's still happening. But give us a couple words. How do you actually get these guys signed up? Because it's it's kind of a magic mix of who you want to come and when they are swinging through the region, right?
Well, it's always been a challenge. You know, Sandpoint is where it is. And so we'd have to catch them on
off the beaten path.
Beginning of a Canadian tour or the end of a tour that happened to end on the West Coast. It was convenient for them. And, of course, we have to be able to afford them. This particular year was, I've been around for a long time on this board, and this particular year was the hardest year just because, well, mainly because of the pandemic. You know, people still weren't, I mean, we have to book this months ago, and they still weren't sure what this summer was going to look like and if they wanted to go on the road. And if we wanted them to go from big city to here, it's like, good point. I don't know. So it was just the people that it could work out. We could afford them and they wanted to be here. And we turned on the green light and here we are.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a kind of a feat, you know, and everybody has their 2 cents to put in on the various acts that are here.
We hear all of those 2 cents.
And you hear people going, hooray. And then somebody else will be like, oh, that's so 1980s or whatever, you know, but you got a pretty terrific mix this year. Let's talk about the second week in short order here. It kicks off on Thursday, August 5th. That's next Thursday as you're listening to this, with another legend. It's Gladys Knight.
What a perfect Thursday evening. And, you know, it's not everybody knows the hits. And most of them are with Gladys Knight and the Pips. And it's not the Pips anymore. But she is still great. And she's such a professional and such a professional performer. And it's going to be wonderful. Yeah. You're going to love it. And tickets are $69.95.
Again, that might seem like a lot to some folks, but it's cheap compared to what she commands in bigger markets.
And if you're worried about her, I mean, she's not that old. I mean, I was surprised. Go to her website and check her out, and she's still got it. It's going to be great.
You know, that's one thing I really love about the festival is the opportunity to actually see some, hear some legends in person.
On our stage?
Yeah, they come right into our town. Yeah, it's amazing. I remember years ago when Johnny Cash came to town, and at that time I decided I was going to listen to it out in the park and didn't buy a ticket, and that's like one of my biggest festival regrets was not getting inside to see Johnny Cash when he came here, because there's, again, a legend. We've had a ton of legends come into Sandpoint.
The Beach Boys, John Prine, I mean, just over and over again. And every time, you know, I get to meet most of these people, it's like, oh, my God, it's Johnny Cash.
Right, it's here in Sandpoint. Gladys Knight's opening act is Sam True.
Yeah.
A few words on Sam?
Sam's a Sandpoint native, so I know we have been trying to have a lot of our openers have as many ties locally as possible, so we were really excited that she was available, and I think her style and voice is very complimentary to Gladys Knight, so she's thrilled to be here and to grace her stage, so we're really excited to have a Sandpoint native open for such an icon.
Yeah, that's pretty cool for Sam and for us to get to hear Sam in that venue. Friday, that's next Friday, August 6th, it's Young the Giant. Now, this was, I keep hearing buzz from my, you know, the young people I know about Young the Giant. I didn't know anything about him, but
I think Young the Giant is going to be a fun rocking concert. They are, a younger band out of California. And all of our interns are beside themselves about Young the Giant. So I think that's another one that people, if you missed it, you will regret it because it's going to be so much fun. The interns were so excited that they decided that they wanted to make it a glow party themed. So we will be giving out glow sticks to the first 100 people through each gate. And so we're really just excited about the whole vibe and atmosphere of that show, and that's being opened up by Bidadat, another Sandpoint originally native who will be opening that up, and they opened for the B-52s not that many years ago, so they are extremely excited to be back, to be home. And actually Sam True recently, or had once opened up for them. So Sam True was excited to see that they were opening up the next night.
Yeah, that's great. Next Saturday, August 7th, it's REO Speedwagon. Another one of these ones that doesn't really need much introduction, probably. But
no, and of course, everybody knows all the hits, and they still sound great. And if, I mean, it's the kind of night where people our age or even slightly younger will go, God, I remember that song. I haven't heard that in, you know, 15 years or whatever. So it's going to be hit after hit after hit. It's $69.95, and the classic rock has always been so popular at the festival at Sandpoint, and we've had some great ones, and this is another one of those, and should be a really fun night. It's not sold out at this moment, but it's, if it's not completely sold out by next Saturday, it's going to be really close. Yeah. So get your tickets.
Yeah, that's another one you definitely want to get a ticket early if you're interested in going, because there's a good chance it's going to sell out. Their opening act is Lucas Brookbank Brown.
Yes, he is out of Spokane, and he actually played for one of our small Live from the 525 concerts in our office this past spring. So we're really excited to have him back. He's thrilled to be opening for REO Speedwagon. So we're excited to have him and his band back on the stage. One other thing about REO Speedwagon, we will encourage dressing up in your finest leather and big hair. So if you are thinking ahead, maybe pull out an outfit for REO Speedwagon, because we are going to probably do a little bit of a costume contest, potentially.
Okay, that's kind of the flashback sort of thing.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and then it all wraps up on Sunday. That's next Sunday, August 8th, and that's, you're actually going to have a matinee for kids.
Yeah. That,
this is a new sort of format.
Well, we didn't want to get rid of Kid Day altogether, so... I know that I have grandkids, and they love the music part of the usually the first Sunday, but this is the second Sunday. Gates at noon, and the concert at 1, and it's mostly the Disney-themed songs. And, I mean, every kid and their young parents will know every one of these songs,
yeah.
And it's Whitney Claire Kaufman, and she's great, and it's with the Spokane Symphony, so it's really going to be a special show.
Yeah.
And tickets are, like,
$9.95. Yeah, the caliber of that show is going to be amazing.
Yeah.
Whitney Claire Kaufman sings for Disney in concert. So we're talking Moana, Frozen,
yeah.
Little Mermaid, Pocahontas. I mean, I think young and old will love that show. And it's a nice quick show. It's for lunch. I have a 2-year-old and 4-year-old. My God, I can commit to that.
Yeah.
So we're so excited. I'm excited to see families experience such a high quality show for $9.95, mm-hmm. and see all the kids light up to those songs.
And then at 5 p.m. on Sunday, August 8th, the grand finale.
Yeah. So the Spokane Symphony, symphonies are really hard during the pandemic. So that we had to continue to adapt. It will be a smaller symphony. It'll be a 35 piece symphony, which is not unheard of for the festival. And then Whitney Claire Kaufman will also be singing with them. They still have a lot of COVID restrictions in place to be spaced out. So it'd be a very spaced out layout. And so Whitney will be singing some classic Disney songs as well in the evening, as well as some, she also sang on Broadway, so some of those songs. So it's a little bit more of a pops concert. And we went that way simply because we didn't know how big or small the symphony would be able to be this year, but we're really excited for the programming.
Mm-hmm. And a key question, there's usually a wine tasting involved with the last night.
Yes.
It's been an adventure.
Yeah, there is a wine tasting. You know, the pandemic has had a lot of interesting issues with local restaurants or wineries being short-staffed, or there not being an inventory of certain things. So there will be a wine tasting. We did get rid of the Brew Fest because that was hard to do on the turf.
It's and usually the first week.
Correct.
Yeah, yeah.
So we've actually added some breweries to the wine tasting.
Oh, I see.
So there'll be a little bit of both. It will still be there, and we're covering a section of the artificial turf off to the right of the stage for our wine tasting. So the wine tasting runs from 5 to 7, and the music starts at 7:30.
Okay.
And then there will be the iconic fireworks at the end of the evening.
But you're shot off over the lake.
Over the lake.
Yeah, over the water.
Yeah, okay. To keep that fire hazard
down.
The weather right now, the it's projected to be about perfect.
Yeah.
We don't know. We're ways out yet for both these weeks, but hopefully the weather's going to be great. Who knows what's going to happen with the air quality? I noticed it's going up and down depending on which way the wind is blowing. We get in some really nice days, and then there's some days where we have some smoke here. But, you know, you're like farmers, right? You take what the weather gives you.
Yep. We are a rain or shine event, so come prepared. And like Bob said, you can bring in your own food and drinks, bring some water, hydrate.
Just don't bring any glass.
Bring any glass. And we are really excited to just be back. It was touch and go there for a little while. So the fact that we're here is very surreal. And I think the community is elated and we're all just relieved to kind of have a sense of normalcy again.
Well, Ali Baranski, Executive Director, Bob Witte, Festival Board President. I want to say thanks again. Folks should go to festival@sandpoint.com and get those tickets.
Yes.
And get all the information they need. And any final last word you want to throw out there?
I just want to say thank you. The fact that we are back is a testament to this community and Sandpoint and our sponsors and our volunteers and our board. And it took a lot of long hours and a lot of sacrifice from a lot of people. So thank you for your support and your adaptability, especially this year as we try to have a safe and fun festival on a new surface during a pandemic. So we appreciate everyone's flexibility going into this season.
That sums it all up there. We'll see you all on the field.
Well, thank you, Ali and Bob, for being here.
Thank you, guys.
Thank you.